Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight, and we want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here to be with you each and every Thursday. I want to remind everybody that if you miss the show, you can always download it or listen to it on one of the other times that we're broadcast, which you can find at the latalkradio.com website. Dr. Allen, you're on the air live. What is going on?
What's going on is I'm having the fun of serving, and I want to serve some more today.
Awesome. Well, so we've done our Monday and Wednesday show for March, but I know you've got a class coming up on Saturday, right?
This Saturday. Yep, I'm doing addiction.
Oh, do tell, Dr. Allen. How does that class work?
That class works the following way. I'm a transactional analyst, and I am giving out the Myers-Briggs test in order to find out the temperaments of the six people that are working with me in the class. And I'm wanting to find out if anything they do in their life, which is normal, including a glass of beer, cleaning the house, going to church, lots of things. People think of addictions as heroin, cocaine, but
right.
There are more addictions than that. Anything that's natural that you do to the point it causes trouble is an addiction,
mm-hmm.
and produces chemistry, cortisol in your body, which ultimately can kill you. So my way of doing addictions is, are you honest with your temperament? Are you living either do good to feel good or feel good to do good lives? Are you committed to your mind or your body? Are you a career woman or a man and a career, a man or a woman with a career on the side?
Right.
These are my ways of going after addictions. And I love to refer the book, The Craving Brain, by Dr. Rudin.
I've heard of that one. I think we've discussed
yes.
that before. Hey, you know what?
We've got a phone call.
We do. We've got some phone calls coming in, and the board is asking me if we're ready.
Do it.
All right. Let me tell the board we are ready. Dr. Allen, you're always ready. Amazing.
Yeah, I'm ready. I was born to talk, and I talk and talk and talk.
It reminds me of the old story from my elementary reader. It was called The Queer Company. That was in the days before that word was connected with the gay community. So she had a head as a drum and a body that was a flour sack. And it was a very odd story. I've never forgotten that. That was second grade. So interesting that you say that. And one of the things they said was she talks and talks and talks. And I was like, oh my goodness. That totally reminded me of that. Okay. He says he is getting the calls ready right now.
Good.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do have a question.
What is it?
Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. A man who recently started dating me would like for
Good.
Me to go on a
you
weekend
egg
ski trip with him.
Sperm.
Yes,
yep.
it was a hookup that a former colleague of mine introduced us, and he made a very Good. Lovely introduction to me, and I can't quite decide if he is as masculine as I would like for him to be, or as I would like for a partner to be, but I'm, you know, feeling him out.
What are you? Are you predominantly a career woman or a woman with a career on the side?
I am a woman with a career on the side.
Okay.
I'm of course still faking beta a little bit, but I'm working on it. But I find it a lot easier to do with an alpha male than with
you want
a
to be with a man who's sensitive
I do want to be
and with smart.
Yes.
Okay. Well, do you have a problem that you're calling me about?
Yes. So things have been going well, and he
you have someone you're
me.
Dating. What?
Yes. Man I'm dating has asked me to go on a weekend ski trip with him. The trip is for his birthday weekend, by which point we will have only been seeing each other for 5 weeks. So
Does
far,
that
we've
matter?
Only been dating
Do you expect
three
him
weeks.
To be a criminal in cover? Or what are you afraid?
No, I'm not afraid in any way, but I'm not quite ready to be exclusive with him yet. I'm seeing two other people as well, and I want to make sure that
are you
he's
going
a good
to tell him before you go that you don't plan to have intercourse?
Well, I guess my question to you was whether I shouldn't go at all. Yes, I would tell him that I wasn't planning on having intercourse until I was exclusive with a person, but I'm afraid that he's going to ask why I don't.
And had talked about, I'm having a lot of issues with people not remembering that the three criteria for being in love in my office is monogamy that you both agree to, and that means you might agree to having an open relationship. The second element is continuity. How often are we going to see each other? And if we can't see each other, how often are we going to talk on the phone or email or text or Skype or whatever? And the last thing is, what is your long-term goal? Is it a shipboard romance? Is it a boyfriend-girlfriend? Is it a permanently engaged but not married? Is it mating without marriage? Is it marriage that's mating? Monogamy, continuity, and longevity, compatibility.
So we've discussed longevity. He wants marriage and children, as do I. I just don't quite know if he's the right man for me yet, and I'm not prepared to have the discussion of exclusivity.
I understand that.
I want a monogamous relationship.
Well, you're prepared to have the discussion. I am not. Before we go on our trip, I want to let you know, sir, that I don't plan to have casual intercourse. And if that makes a difference, let's not go. Let's just date local.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
Okay.
But I do not want you to go as a guest of a gentleman to a place where you might be sleeping in the same bed without a conversation about the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You willing to
okay,
do that?
Okay, I think it's okay to go. Yes, yes, I'm definitely willing to do that. I was thinking maybe I shouldn't go at all and wanted
why
to know what you would advise.
Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Are
probably
you
to
afraid he's dangerous?
No, he's not dangerous.
Then wouldn't it be, if he were a girl and you met a girl and she said, I'm going to be going to Vegas. You want to join me? Would you consider doing that?
I would. Well, it's only been 3 weeks, so you don't think it's a little early? I feel like he's rushing things.
I'm telling you that you can find out a lot about him by, number one, informing him of the boundaries before you get in the car or the plane or the whatever.
Okay.
If he doesn't like the boundaries, you don't go.
Right.
But for you to say it's too early to go on a trip with you because I'm afraid of men, I don't like men, I'm afraid you'll rape me. If your gut tells you that, I wouldn't date him at all, much less go out of town.
No, my gut doesn't tell me that. I really want to go on the trip with him. I'm just concerned that I'm going to want to do something with him and then I'll regret doing it because I haven't quite ended the relationship.
You'll only regret it. Wait a minute. You're setting standards for him that are extremely virtuous. And if he accepts your standards, I've had women go on shipboard where you can't jump off for a weekend.
Okay.
And you know what was interesting about that person who might be listening is when she and he were on the boat, whatever they were, he never made a move on her, and she was mad that he didn't, even though she had told him the boundary.
That's great. Well, right. I can understand that. Okay, so I will go on the trip with him, but I will set the boundaries before the trip, or well before the trip. I'll probably tell him these boundaries now and let him decide if he wants to plan this trip or not.
There you go. There you go.
Thank you. I have another question.
What is your other question?
Called me. He never calls. He texts me. Is there an appropriate...
Darling, yoo-hoo. I just gave a lecture on continuity on this show right now. Monogamy may be an open relationship with each of you having five lovers, and it's still your form of monogamy. You see what I mean? I'm not a moralist. I'm a therapist. Continuity is when he says, I want you to stop dating other men, and yes, I want to be monogamous, continuous, and long-term with you. That's when you set the boundaries for whatever you're doing.
But I'm not prepared to set I'm not prepared to give them the option to have me stop dating other men. I don't want
We never said that. When you talk about monogamy... You will talk, I just said, monogamy may be for what you're doing that you keep on dating. I'm agreeing with you.
Okay.
So the statement would be something like, I'm not going to give up dating other men until I'm pretty much engaged to the man I'm with.
Wow.
I want you to date three men at all times and at least three times each to see if there wasn't and isn't chemistry, compatibility, and communication.
I'm doing that. I'm dating three men right now. And it's so, I called in a few weeks ago at having only dated one man and seeing the chemical reaction to that. And so now I'm dating three and it's very effective. And I'm
fine. I know it is. That's why, people pay money for teaching them that. See, I'm saying words, but you're filtering them back into dangerous territory. I'm not saying that.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. I hear you now.
So the first thing that most men say when they're coming after us is stop dating other people. You're still on the website. And you say to them, I'm not ready to be monogamous. I'm dating at least three men. You're one of them. And I'm going to continue until I'm pretty well sure I'm in a commitment that's leading to marriage, which is where I want to go.
That's beautiful. I think that's okay. I'm really comfortable with that.
I know you are, but you didn't hear me say that I was teaching you that. Continuity is when you have said, I'm going to be dating you only, and how often do you want to see me? And when you can't see me, will you call me? I don't want to be ghosted. That's a new sexual term. Ghosting. Whoop, he's gone. And the last thing is, I'm never going to have sex intercourse with anybody unless I know that they're open to the idea of marriage this year or next year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got it. I'm going to listen to
how do
again,
you feel about
I,
those
I have a good
things?
Sense. I feel really good about those things.
Good. Then guess what? Your call was successful.
It was very successful. Can I ask a third question? Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. So you on your podcast or during your seminars, you've spoken a lot about sexuality. How does one ascertain if somebody is gay or is somewhere on the spectrum? When they themselves haven't quite, so he tells me he's straight, but I understand that there are several gay people in his family on his mother's side and it runs in the family. And I feel like he hasn't exactly examined himself yet. And so I am a little concerned about sexuality.
Well,
from previous
one thing, if he's gay, he's not going to make love to you.
That's
Are you talking
true.
About bisexual?
Yes, I guess I
there
am.
There are people that like both sexes.
I just, my concern
about,
is that. What? My concern is that, say, hypothetically, right now, he likes women or tells me he likes women or thinks himself he likes women. But 10 years from now, I find out that he actually likes men. And I want
I've
to know how to
for you
for being with somebody like that.
I've got
like
news
that.
For you. You can't prepare for it. I don't approve of you getting married to anybody in less than a year. You don't know anybody. And your instinct will tell you if he doesn't want to make love to you.
Okay.
And in a year, it'll show.
Okay.
The reason that some people don't want to know is that a lot of women don't care if their men are gay because the money's right.
I care.
Well, then, if you care, you will feel the love in his touch. You will feel
okay.
the love in the way he relates to you. And a year would show you pretty much where he's coming from.
Okay.
All right?
Would you
so
say
you can't predict
men,
what anybody... What?
Well, would you say that masculine men are more aggressive or more dominant sexually as well? Or is that not
I believe alpha men always come off as potentially gay because their feminine side is as predominant as their masculine.
Oh. And does left-handedness
really,
play into it at all?
Well, left-handedness makes a person, a man, susceptible to his right lobe. That doesn't make him gay.
Okay.
That makes him alpha. But many, many, many men are accused of being gay when in fact they're alpha. And they people interpret femininity. Men create off their female. They're artists, politicians, many, many, many good men that are not gay come off as gay because they're both feeling-centered and logical. They produce and they process.
Okay.
We are all male and female. And if mom didn't give him enough androgen, he might have a tendency to gayness. And if mom gave her daughter androgen, she might be herself male. We're all on a continuum of being both male and female. Some of us are more male than female, and some of us are more female than male. It's very interesting in my office, I am never hit on by a man. My brains are almost too equal and competitive. But I have been hit on by lesbians. And I'm not gay. But I know what they're sensing in my office. My masculine. Because I'm in my masculine when I'm teaching people. I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist, which is very left lobe. And I know why they hit on me. And I appreciate their attraction, but it's not my thing. So, know them for a year and then decide whether you want to believe he's gay or straight.
Okay. So the fact that he's expressed that he likes strong, confident women, is that a red flag that he won't be masculine enough for me?
No, he might.
No, okay.
Alpha women.
But
alpha
still be
like,
an alpha male.
Yeah, if he's an alpha male and he's really comfortable being male and female, he's going to really like a productive woman who likes to process her feelings. He's going to like someone that he can waltz with. But too often, alpha women become competitive men with men and therefore hurt their feelings. A man's soul, the anima, is very sensitive. And a woman's soul, the animus, is very powerful. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much for your help. I really appreciate it.
Good. Read my last book. It's A Man's World and a Woman's Universe.
I'm going to order it right now. Thank you very much, Dr.
Good.
Pat. Have a wonderful evening.
Thanks, caller.
You too.
Speaking of that, if you're looking for Dr. Allen's new book, It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe, you can get that on our website, www.wantistore.com. So, Dr. Allen, it's interesting because you're an alpha woman. And
yes.
Would you, you've had many relationships over your years. Do you find as an alpha woman?
I've been married four times.
Do you find as an alpha woman that you get, what is the relationships that you usually have? Is it with alpha males or beta males? Or
always. I have been growing up all my life. And now I was married to an alpha woman I was married 15 years to a very beta, very powerful, controlling man that was very threatened by my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Very. So he divorced me. I had taken up drinking. And that's a turnoff. He divorced me, and I raised my kids. I got my master's and my PhD, blah, blah, blah. Then I had a relationship with a fellow alcoholic in the program, and we were both... See, the program says, don't get involved for a year of sobriety. Well, I bought him a motorcycle. Did I tell you?
Yeah.
I bought him a motorcycle. It's in my book, Getting to I Do. And I was a good mama to that man, boy. And eventually, he left, went back to his mother with all my furniture and stuff. Goodbye, him. Then I married a man who was very, very nice, well-bred, but not male enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
So we were married 3 years, and then I went off and got married to a man who was more alpha, both male and female. And I was married to him for 15 years. That's whatever.
Yeah.
Then after he died, then I went with a wonderful, gifted, he was a minister. I wanted to investigate other religions. So I went with him for 7 years. Then he died. Then I went with a wonderful ex-army officer who was just so alpha, that he was 5 years and he died. And now I'm with a man 3 years. He used to be a therapist, but now runs his apartment building. And we have a very alpha relationship, which I truly enjoy.
Now, you've run through this whole spectrum, and my question for you is, because I know how it is for me as an alpha female, I find that older men, as I've aged, they are less upset if you're an alpha. They seem more accepting and more generally able to be in a relationship with an alpha woman. Would you say that you find the same thing?
I find that alpha men often marry beta women because we alpha women give them a bad time with disrespect. So they marry a beta woman who's very appreciative and adoring, and they have alpha mistresses on the side. And I don't know if you're watching your radio or TV or whatever you're watching, but there's a lot of men who are alphas, which means they're creatively feminine and powerfully masculine in leadership, and they don't want to be married to alpha women. They like beta women, but they're too bored with beta women. So they eventually, if they follow my books and training, they will learn how to handle an alpha woman. But mostly, I teach alpha women how to act like ladies.
Yeah, you definitely do. You know, I think that's interesting that you say that, Dr. Allen, because you say that alpha men get bored with beta women. And as an alpha woman, I got very bored with beta men. And I found that they just had to have...
I know that. Oh, alpha women can't stand beta men.
Alpha men
like their beta women because they don't give them a bad time. But they usually have an alpha on the side.
Yeah, I felt like this person just needs constant stroking. They're so much trouble. High maintenance. And, you know,
I understand that.
Oh, it was crazy. It was totally crazy. And speaking of crazy and self-esteem, you know, I know you have a class coming up soon, not this weekend, but
yes,
soon, about self-esteem.
Balancing male and female is what the self-esteem class is.
That's so
interesting. When you're too tilted one way or the other, you're unbalanced.
Yeah.
We are designed to be playful and productive. Too playful is addictive.
Right.
And too productive is just not lovable. Balance, balance, balance.
And that's interesting because I love the way that all of your classes and your teachings have this beautiful golden thread that go through them and connect them. And I think that in itself is like a complete package to teach you how to live balance. And I'm so,
yes,
I'm so excited that you're doing the self-esteem class. But what I really excited about is the new office policy on the self-esteem, because if our clients can't come to the self-esteem class, you offer self-esteem appointments via the telephone.
Absolutely.
So can you tell me how that works, Dr. Allen? Because I know in the class you do, do you do the Kiersey sorter or the Myers-Briggs?
What I do is I send them a series of questions about what's missing in their life.
Yes.
And then I teach them how to go about negotiating time, space, money, and play. So it's a matter of, I'm a transactional analyst, communication. I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist. I'm not dealing with your emotions. If you're mentally disabled, you probably need to be with a psychiatrist.
Right.
But I help people balance their life between processing pleasure and performing successfully.
Hello?
Oh, we got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
Hi.
So I have a bit of a strange question. I've read the Dream book, right? And I've been paying more attention to my dream lately. I want to have
you mean
interpret
Wanda,
anything, but I just had.
Are you talking about Wilda Tanner's book, The Mystical
yes,
Magical
yes,
Marvelous
yes, not
World
your dream.
Of Dreams? Isn't that
yes.
a wonderful
and,
book?
Oh, I know, and it's getting a little spooky for me, because a few days ago. Backtrack a little bit. Last year, I ended a relationship with a married man that had lasted for several years, and lately, I've been kind of thinking about it a lot, and I saw this dream, and there was a nun there, and they kept saying her name, and the name is very strange. It was a Russian name, but it was very, very strange, and I woke up, and I was just like, gosh, what is this name? So
So I Googled that name, and it was a novel about a mistress. I've never read that novel. I've never heard that name. How would you explain that? But it was like a novel about a mistress that was very, it's very similar. Like it was
ever
a
heard,
short novel.
Have you ever heard of the term subliminal? Do you know that 90% of who you are, you don't know? And the job we have on this planet when we deal with each other and whatever is to learn more about ourselves. We know about 10% of ourselves. But what I hope and do is I help people look at their script. I help them decide if they're balanced and work. But dreams are messages from the subconscious, and I want
from
to
the 90%
the subliminal book, My Mulatta Now, which is fun and which really speaks to the unconscious part. What you what you got was a message from your subconscious, which correlated with your reality, and that's what it's for.
Yeah, and the, it was, but I've never, I don't remember ever hearing about that novel, let alone reading it. That's not, I don't even,
I've got
it was
news
so
for
spooky
you.
To me.
Your subconscious is full of your past lives, your past experiences, and you use them as a way to make a diagram of who you are. In other words, there are no dreams that are evilly wishing to hurt you, but the images you use from your subconscious very often are very highly energized and may scare you. But if you happen to have a person like myself who loves to analyze dreams, have been doing it for many, many years, who loves to do that, I can show you the positive nature of the message.
I went to your class 2 weeks ago to your want training, and that same night, I had the craziest dream. I recorded it all, and when I'm there, when I'm back there, I'll maybe I'll have a session with you and have you analyze it, because it was completely insane. And I'm pretty sure it means a lot since it was such after such a meaningful day. So yeah, the more I use it, the more I read this book, the more vivid my dreams get. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I know that. I know that you're dipping into your subconscious, and it's becoming more comfortable.
Okay, and so if you say that it's also the 90% that we don't know about is filled with past lives. Is there, maybe a weird question, is there any way to like access that, like our genetic memory? Or I've heard of like past life regression. Is it a normal or is it just...
Darling, they come up by... When you go to classes and you go to seminars and you read books and you have experiences, you're invited into your subconscious. Why did that happen? What's that about? These questions are your way of going inside to determine. And if you get a spiritual leader, a religious or therapy, or some wise soul in your neighborhood, or a shaman. We all need somebody to reflect our subconscious to us so that we can read what the subconscious is saying. So you're reading Wilder Tanner's book, The Mystical, Magical, Marvelous World of Dreams, which is a very thorough book about dreams. And I myself am assisting one of my good dream readers into writing a book that she can use as her with her, people that trust her enough to let her read their dreams.
I see. And will this book become public as well, or is it just for her?
Yes, it'll become public. She's working on it very diligently right now.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's so exciting. I had no idea how powerful this was, but I was seriously freaked out.
Good. So keep on letting it come up and ask people like me, or look up Wilda Tanner's book and see what strikes you, what teaches you.
Mm-hmm. And what meaning does the church have when you see it in your dream? Because in this dream, I was sitting in the church and I was relaxing there.
I do not want to talk about dreams anymore.
Okay, cool.
Okay?
Great. Yeah. Thank you so much.
We do
You're
have a
welcome.
Class, though, and you can find that at themoneyestore.com also.
Absolutely.
I'll come to that one for sure.
And Dr. Allen does private appointments and telephone appointments for dream analysis, too.
Right. But I devoted enough time here. Now I want to go on.
Okay.
Thank you so much, caller.
Thank you. Of course, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Marvelous. I just was so inspired by you telling me one day there's no such thing as a bad dream. And I love that. It's one of my favorite things.
There
that
is,
I just.
I still haven't seen it. I still have not seen an evil dream.
That's amazing.
Every dream I've read has been a message from God, I believe in, which is inspirational. The subconscious is inspirational.
When did you first start reading dreams? I know it's been a long time.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I don't know, 20 years.
Yeah. Just amazing. I love that because I had so much great knowledge from you in the class and when you read my dreams. So I want everybody to know that they can find that class online. And if they have questions, they can go and send an email to info@drpatallen.com. And we have a little question that's this lady's been waiting for 2 weeks. So I'm going to go ahead and ask it for her. A man met me online. And he told me he was divorced, but it turns out he has been separated for 5 years, living apart from his wife. Yeah, he lied. When I asked him why he didn't get a divorce, he said his wife always starts crying. What's your advice about me seeing this man?
If you want to date a married man, be prepared for war.
Oh, do explain that one, Dr. Allen. He's been separated for 5 years, but he won't divorce her because she cries. So,
men marry financially. They give women stature and financial security.
Mm-hmm.
She's under his wing.
Uh-huh.
So, I have no problem with the polyamorous nature of human beings.
Right.
If you're comfortable being one of his wives, fine.
Mm.
But if you're uncomfortable, he's told you his reason. She shows her feelings to him, and he does not want to cause pain. So he loves her better than himself, and because of that, you rank number two.
Definitely. So it's whether or not you want to be the mistress, the side girl, as they say, and whether or not being number two is all right with you.
If it's okay with you, it's okay with me. The book on that is The Myth, M-Y-T-H, The Myth of Monogamy. We human animals are not built for monogamy. And when we are monogamous, it's because we have prioritized monogamy over polyamorous sexuality, and that requires discipline. Mm. Discipline requires internal investigations about what we do and do not. Am I a stoic that does what's right, or am I a hedonist that follows gratification? So stoic, I love the book by that Forstater wrote of Marcus Aurelius' work, The Spiritual Teachings of Marcus Aurelius by Forstater.
Mm-hmm.
The words are, hedonists want body gratification. Stoic wants spiritual satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And so you got to do one or the other.
Right. One or the other. Now, we have a very unusual question, Dr. Allen. And since you are the queen of controversy, rivaled only in the rap world by Eminem.
Okay.
This young lady says this, Dr. Allen. I am 46 years old. My husband died 3 years ago. I grieved for 2 years, much like you discuss, and then I began to take the black off the mirrors and start becoming me again without him. It was difficult. A man met me and I started to date him, but I've had a strange experience over the last 3 months and it's frightening. Things in my house are moving. Someone seems to be in my bathroom when I'm showering. I live alone and things are going missing, like my car keys and my briefcase and other things that are important. When I'm trying to get out of the house, I can't find them. Do you believe in spirits? And do you believe that the spirit of my husband could be trying to stop me from seeing this man and live my life?
I believe in spirits. And I believe that in levitation, I'm not sure that that's your husband. There is an opposition to God called the devil, which is mm-hmm. an energy system. And with that in mind, I will not be surprised at anything.
Right.
But everything that exists is worth recognizing. And those things could be, what is the message of these things for me? And mm-hmm. she's already on the track of saying that her husband on the other side
mm-hmm.
is levitating things in order to flag her, signal her.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting because we know, Stephen Hawking, who has just passed, and other brilliant men have said energy never goes away. And what are we? We're a source of energy. So where that energy goes,
right.
How it's contained, whether or not it's contained at all, is just always been such an interesting concept for me. So she thinks
my husband, 2 weeks after he died, came into my dream world and literally showed me that there's life after death.
Now, that's
so
amazing.
I'm just telling this woman that there's messages and that I believe in messages that are promoted by the spirit world, the unconscious, the subconscious, whatever you want to call it.
You know, I I think it's so amazing that you said that. I had my oldest daughter's 36, and she was born February 5th, and my grandmother passed about 11 days after my daughter was born. She lived in Wichita. And I woke up, and this spirit, this formed, it was standing next to the crib, looking at the baby. And then I knew it was my grandmother. And then she just smiled and disappeared. And I went out to my dad and I said, I just saw grandma. And he said, I just got the phone call. She just passed. It was really amazing for me. It was like, wow, I've never gotten over that. And I've been a firm believer in that energy ever since.
So I do too. And I just think it's, there are many levels to reality.
I do too. Well, we are out of time, Dr. Allen. What do you have to say before we go off until next week?
What I want to say is the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is your willingness to make and keep agreements.
Amazing. Hey, everybody, we're going to be back next week. Listen for us. Get your questions ready. And be sure to visit www.drpatallen.com and www.oneeyestore.com. Follow us on Facebook. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.